Before we get too far in the Fly Racing Racer X podcast here with Burner and Christian Craig, thank you to the folks at Racetech. Get your suspension work done. Get motor work done. Tell them you listen to Pulp MX to save. Racetech.com. Vintage stuff, road bikes, flat track stuff, dirt bikes, all of it. Their website is a cornucopia of settings. Racetech.com. Use the code. Tell them you save. Tell them you listen to Pulp and save. All right. Away we go.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. It's a twofer for you today. Michael Byrne, Christian Craig. Byrne talking motocross the nations. Christian Craig talking about his new ride. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. And we're going to keep these things going in the off season for you. And Fly Racing, man, thank you to Fly Racing. Dean Wilson. Joey Savacci's the fly guy now. RJ Hampshire won a championship in it. Justin Brayton's still rocking it whenever he rides. And, man, Chance Imus, of course, flyracing.com. The code is PulpMX to save. That's right. We have a code now with flyracing.com. You punch in that code, you save on, you get it direct from Fly. So thank you to the folks at Fly Racing. Formula helmet, Formula S helmet. It's a helmet with a brain. You can download the app, and it can track your collisions. It can call for help if you're knocked out. All sorts of cool things with the Formula S, and the guys have put a lot of money into it. So please check it out, flyracing.com, for more information on that. And the Evo gear is my favorite. Well, Evo and Kinetic, tied for my favorite. And thanks to the folks at Fly Racing for all that they do for us. And I want to say thank you to Renthal, Renthal.com, for more information. Kawasaki, KTM, Honda, all using Renthal. That Jet Lawrence guy, yeah, he's using Renthal. And Chase Sexton, yeah, Renthal as well. So Renthal.com for more information. Chains, grips, sprockets, bars, bar pads. They got the cloth bar pads for you vintage folks. Mountain bike stuff is available at Power Sports dealers now. So stems and bars and aluminum and bars and carbon. Renthal.com, really informative website. So please check that out. We'll tell you more about Maxxis Motorsport.com later on in this show. But yeah, support Fly Racing with that code. Support all those guys if you like these podcasts. And here's a little bit of information from Michael Byrne, Christian Craig. Thanks for listening. Away we go. All right, first up on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast, the team manager of the winning team in Motocross the Nations, and a guy who certainly deserves a lot of accolades for what went down in Matterly Basin. It's Michael Byrne. What's up, Byrner? How are you?
What's happening?
We're
a little busy here in Florida.
Yeah, how'd the hurricane, how'd everything go? You guys make it all right?
Yeah, safe and sound, obviously, but thankful for that. Not that lucky, but... yeah, the property looks like a war zone, so we're just out here, just a lot of trees and
yeah,
just a lot of, you know, water damage and whatnot, but stuff that's, you know, just yeah, takes a little time to put back together.
Yeah, there's a lot of old trees, right? Like just kind of hanging on around that property. I imagine they're all down, so.
Yeah, there's so many trees, but like not just little trees too, like
yes,
you said, like massive trees. You're like, how did this even fall?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, hey man, listen, it's been a little over a week since you guys took home the Chamberlain Trophy for the first time, and yeah, you got to be pretty proud and stoked on everybody's effort, right? Like, is it you still something you still think about at late at night or in the mornings or anything else, and kind of sit there and be like, fuck, we did it?
I probably would have been if it wasn't for this hurricane, but
yeah.
No, definitely super proud of the guys. I mean, long time coming, right? So many attempts, so many times leaving heartbroken, you know. So
yeah,
for the boys to step up in the last moto, which is kind of like what we knew the game plan would have to be, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, the goal was for Kyle to, you know, put a solid moto up on the board, and which obviously wasn't an amazing effort in that first one. We all thought maybe it'd be in the second one against the open class guys, but for him to throw up that one, and he did his job, you know. So
yeah.
So many times we've come into that last moto in years past, either being leading or, you know, top two, like with a shot at it, and then not even got on the podium. So to be just back and then have the boys step up was pretty special.
Yeah, I bet. Is there one that's like, obviously you made the podium, I think, at St. Jean, Angeli, right? You guys did?
Yeah, I think, you know, Chad, Eddie and Matt Moss, they were the first podium.
Mm-hmm.
But then we had nothing, you know, and for a long time. So until, I think, what was it, Redbud, we got third?
Yeah.
Yeah, Redbud third, and then second in France, and now to win it's pretty crazy.
Was there one that you were on that stands out as just, like, heartbreaking?
So many, Steve. I mean, you know, like, Bud's Creek, the year we had a shot at being on the podium, or, you know, mm-hmm. Only to, you know, Andrew got hurt 50 feet out of the gate in the first moto. One of my bikes blew up. I mean, even, I don't know, Donington that year in 08.
Mm-hmm.
And with the shot, and then Italy the following year. I feel like that one in Italy hurt the most, because I think we, you know, Chad, I think we qualified second, or we might have even qualified first that year. I'm not sure, on Saturday. But it was top two for sure. And then, I got taken out midair by a MX2 guy when I was trying to pass him. And then Chad was in the first turn crash.
Yeah.
Second last moto.
Too
many.
You mentioned Webster's ride, and obviously he was a bit of a question mark coming in on the smaller bike, but his first moto he was second MX2, and if I remember right, like, he kind of just slowly worked up. I remember thinking, like, oh, Webster's buried, and then, you know, he's way back, and then by the end he's 11th, and that was a really big key for you guys. That ride was he had a tough second moto, vision problems and crashes, but the first moto for Kyle Webster was really key.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Hunter's obviously been a great starter all year, so mm-hmm. we were pretty confident to, I mean, and Jet also, so we were pretty confident to just give our MX2 guy the inside gate every time, and obviously we know that Kyle is a great starter also, so we had three really good starters. The goal was obviously just to get the MX2 guy up there, you know, because mm-hmm. that's hard. So we wanted to give Kyle the inside gate, because it was, you know, if he started 20th, it was going to be really hard for him to just move through on a 250 against the 450. So we were pretty confident to, and then obviously Hunter didn't get a good start that one, and we were like, oh shit.
Yeah, USA was the opposite. But USA was like, hey, look, Coop's not, you know, Coop's got a lot of an uphill battle here. Let's get Eli the inside and put MX2 guy on the outside and just good luck, Coop. That was their strategy, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, I mean, you're gonna fare a lot better if the MX2 guy can get a good start, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
And I think Kyle was actually the first couple laps, I think he was the first MX2 bike, and then obviously Kai passed him, and then Lucas passed him, and then he was third, pretty comfortable in third. only MX1 guys around him, mm-hmm. and then, you know, Lucas fell and gave us that second in the class. So, you know, that was huge. Hunter, obviously, bad start, but like I said, we'd much rather a guy on a 450 be coming through, making passes. We felt like that was going to be an easier job for a guy on a 450 to make passes and change lines and whatnot. So, yeah, for him to put up that motor, it was big. And, you know, we had him over here as soon as his series was over. He was over, and he's been riding here for 5 weeks before we went. So, you know, we gave him a good amount of time to get used to the 250 and obviously with the support of, you know, Lars and the boys to step up and to give him pretty much a Heimer spec 250 was amazing also. You know, that was a huge help.
Yeah, that's not something a lot of factory teams do. You know, hey, we're gonna let this guy ride our factory bike for weeks. You know, so
yeah, I mean, obviously, we let him ride it a couple times, the real bike, and then we had a practice bike that, you know, Renee built the engine in, and we had some pieces on it, but it wasn't the full bike.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time he was here practicing, and then once we pulled the plug on Chance with his knee, well, then probably like the last 10 days, whatever, he got to ride the real bike, leading up to the race. So, it was really, really cool and special for them to even want to help us with that.
You guys were trailing going into the last moto. I think the Dutch were ahead, but you had probably the fastest ride in the world coming up, so you knew that was looking pretty good. And then in again the gate strategy burner, is it just like, look, Jet's just amazing, give him the outside, like he'll figure it out?
Yeah, for sure. Like with Jet, it was like he was fast, right? So yeah. he had plenty of speed. So we're like, Jet's going to be Jet. He's very smart and quick with his passes. A very explosive rider. So the goal was, hey, Hunter, do your thing, get a start, get up front and go. Jet will probably be seeing you at some point. So.
Now Jet rode amazing. He was like 10th or something, and then obviously Tim got him by the end. I guess just look, hat tip to Tim Geiser there, Burner, for doing that.
Yeah, Tim, you know? I mean, what an amazing race. But Jet being Jet, I think we counted him 20th when he came past the mechanics area dropping in, and then obviously half a lap later he's 10th, you know. Tim rode amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, at one point I remember thinking, oh, Jet was maybe 6, 7, 8 seconds behind Eli and Tim, and I was like, man, well, I kind of need Tim to do something here.
Yeah.
Go, Tim.
Yeah.
And then once Jet got up there and got in the mix, and then Jet was winning, and I'm like, Tim, I don't need you to do anything anymore.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Yeah, you're good. But then, he's obviously amazing at that track. I think he's got a very good track record at that track, but even in all, I mean, Jet came from way back and caught him, and he never quit on it.
No.
What a great race. I think he definitely caught Jet caught Jet by surprise in that last corner. Mm-hmm. But Jet also felt like it was going to happen maybe, because he's like, I just missed the rut. I landed just a little wide. And then before he knew it, he's like, Tim was there. I had to hit the brakes. And I'm like, well, good. Thanks for hitting the brakes, because I didn't need you on the ground either. But
yeah.
No, well, I mean, great race for them. And I mean, great race, great weekend for Honda, you know?
Yeah. Did you guys, when Jet was third and Hunter was like fifth or whatever, did you guys have it? Did you have the overall by then? Do you remember?
I believe we did.
I think you did.
It was only by Well, I think at one point we had it by 5 points, and then
Paul Lynn crashed out.
Nervous, right? Because yeah. It's like you have it by 5 points, but Jett and Hunter are up there, and then, you know, AP ain't going to quit. And then, but then, like, Renault fell, and then Roman fell, and then yep. I'm just like, oh, shit, they're starting to get some gifts here that might come back to haunt us, you know?
Yep.
So then it's like, all right, Jett, you got to go now, and HJ, you need to hold.
Yep.
So, I think, obviously, we won by 3. So on the last lap, we had 5. But then, obviously, Tim passed Jett, and then
Roman.
I think
it was Roman.
Yeah, someone else fell and gave AP another spot, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Stressful.
Yeah,
stressful,
a little bit. But. Yeah, but, I mean, truthfully, it was closer than it was on paper being there because of that late stuff that happened, you know? What was the mood like between second and third moto? Like, you know, what was it? You guys had to know, like I said, you had Jett Lawrence going, the best rider in the world right now. And Hunter was riding well. Like, what was the mood like, or what did you guys talk about, or how was it behind the scenes?
Obviously, not a lot of time for Jett between motos with Hunter. He was very chill, just normal Hunter. Jett almost seemed a little bored, to be honest. So I was like, typical Jett.
Yeah.
He was like, man. Yeah, Jett seemed a little bit like, one more to go, you know?
Yeah.
Like he'd done the whole season, whereas Hunter was like, I gotta, you know, it's gonna go do this one. And
yeah.
I was like, I just told him, hey, let's just go try and make some history. And
yeah.
And obviously, a 1-2 or it would have been what I think they were capable of it. I think a lot of people were, I don't know, doubting Hunter's ability. They got some short-term memory that he was, you know, second in Chase in the in the motocross series, and just got second to Jett in the SMX. So, Hunter pretty much in that last moto was, you know, he was right where we thought he would have been, even in the first moto. So,
yeah, the strategy to move Hunter to MX to MX1 with the moto break, that was sort of, I don't know when you guys decided that, but the public got word of it late. Before the race, but obviously it was decided for well beforehand because the jerseys were printed up and everything. But that was a smart strategy, I think. I talked to you a little bit, I think, on Saturday about it. And, you know, yeah, you were just like, hey, look, it's been a long season. I think I talked to you, maybe Dazzy, somebody. It's been a long season, and, you know, Hunter's done the whole thing, and let's give him a bit of more of a break than the kid that has endless energy that just came back. So it really paid off, right?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, it paid off for sure. I mean, but that was, we made that. Originally, we did have Jett in MX1. And then I think it was maybe after Buds Creek. It was like about Buds Creek time. You know, Hunter was good in the first motos. He kept winning, beating Chase in the first motos. And then we kept dying out a little bit in the second motos. So... we talked about it and we're like, I felt more like Jett was going to come off and be a lot fresher. Just, and if Hunter had an extra hour, could he reproduce that first motor performance that he'd been doing? So that was the only strategy in it, honestly. I mean, the guys were getting 1-2 in SMX, so we felt like there wasn't going to be a big like gap in whether Jett rode it or not, MX1. So
I saw that it was, some people said Jett was scared, Burner, of MX1.
Yeah, super scared.
Yeah, really scared. Jett's really scared of anybody that rides a dirt bike in this world. No, it was really good strategy.
I try not to get online and read anything and just be like, what the hell are people thinking here?
Dude, it's bizarre, man. It's bizarre. Like, you think Jet Lawrence is worried about anybody, like, after what you just watched all year long?
I mean, if he was super worried, we would have had to give him the inside gate, so.
Yeah, exactly right. Hey, one thing about and by the way, too, I said to you after the race, you're the first person I thought of because of the heartbreaks of Australia and because of all the work you put into this team over the years. And I'm really happy for you to get a win, even as a manager. I imagine it doesn't feel any different if you raced or you managed, right? It's the same thing?
Yeah, you still stand on top of that podium. It's pretty special at that type of an event when it's a team event, you know.
Also, really happy for Stephen Gall, guy I got to know a little bit. I went mountain biking with and got to know him. Obviously, he was an early guy, and he trained you for a little bit. But that's where I want to transition. Like, it does seem, Berner, and I'm Canadian, right? So I go through all these Canadian drama and getting a team and the funding and all of that. And then I live in America and work here like you, and you hear about guys not wanting to go and fundraisers and shipping the bikes and all of this. But it seems like, Berner, when Gawley was doing it or when you're doing it, like, you guys in Australia, Motorcycle Australia and whatever, like, there doesn't seem to be any GoFundMes. It seems to be factory bikes all the time. It seems like, and I'm even going back to Mehdi and you and Chad and everybody. You guys really have your shit together as a country for this event. It's really always well done. It's well organized. You never hear, oh, Australia doesn't want to go, or Jet doesn't want to go, or we don't have the money, which I hear from Canada and I hear from US and all of that. Can you expand on that a little bit on why you guys have your shit together?
I think for us, I mean, Motorcycling Australia plays a huge role in that, right? So I'm not sure how many countries still do what, like, Australia and France does, where the federation, I mean, they cover the costs, mm-hmm. you know? It's important to them. So the fundraising, and then obviously Jeff Leask and Gawley, they did the VIP packages this year for mm-hmm. fans to go and get an experience, and that was the first time that we had ever done that this year. So
okay, how would that go? Did that work well? Was that good?
I think it was great. You know, there was, you know, 50 or so people that bought the package, and mm-hmm. what a time to buy the package, right? You know, that's definitely was pretty cool. They got, you know, to be in the VIP thing all week. We, you know, we came up and brought the riders and signed for them. But yeah, like, Peter Doyle, Mark Lucic, I mean, he's the man on the ground for us, mm-hmm. for the team on the fundraising and stuff. And what an amazing job he does. And Gary Ben, and they find the money. You know, whether it be just raffles at each of them of the motocross rounds or what, but mm-hmm. I think for us, like, I'm not sure if USA or Canada does that. You know, I'm not sure. I think some of it falls on the teams, but for us, that Motorcycling Australia is covering the freight of the bikes. They're covering the hotels. They're covering mm-hmm. everything, you know, so. It's a big effort from them on the fundraising side and to pull money from places, and then,
which is your AMA, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's
your,
make it happen.
That's your AMA, right?
Motorcycling Australia. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, and we.
Yeah, that's our governing body.
Yeah, and our AMA. I mean, they've done better. They've done better than they used to, but it seems like money's a problem. You know, which is weird. We run the premier off-road motorcycling series in the world here, you know, everybody wants to be here, and it seems like it's odd that there's money issues. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, just different things. But it is. And also, too, the participation by your riders, like, I think Chad didn't go 1 year, maybe, that I can think of. Like, but it's, you guys always sign up, and that seems to be a problem in Canada. It seems to be a problem in the USA. Even France has had some issues, you know, as far as that goes, but it seems like your guys, you know, fully buy in every single year. And you were in that position where you raced all year long and they called your name and you went.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's always meant a lot to us, no matter what the schedule was, mm-hmm. You know, to represent your country and put your country's colors on just always was a special moment and an honor to do it. So, you know, we always, you know, obviously there's no, you're not making any money for it. So
no, there is a little bit of a purse, right? There's something. I don't know if you guys get it or if the team gets it, but
well, we'd never really done anything to get that purse. So I guess we'll find out now.
Yeah, but I am. I'm not missing anybody. I'm not missing the mark here on Australian riders doing it, right? Or like, is that correct that you guys do it? Or?
It's becoming a little more difficult. Mm-hmm. Maybe not for them to like to do it, but I guess as us as a group and myself and how I want it to be done, so we have a great shot at winning. Mm-hmm. Like this year, like with Kyle, it's like you know, as soon as it's over and you've won the Australian Championship, I need you here, you know, so we can help a little bit and refine some habits or bad habits or make new habits or just control the environment, because I don't know, like it's a long gap sometimes for an Australian rider who gets selected to stay motivated, you know, for 5 or 6 weeks after their season's over, you know, to stay in shape, to be motivated. Because now we have Australian Supercross, which, you know, started this just last weekend. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of their riders are focused on Supercross, you know, so they're like, oh, well, I can't come over there for 5 weeks and prep motocross when I have to race Supercross the following week. So obviously with Kyle doesn't do the Australian Supercross series, at least for this year. So we kind of got lucky on that. I think it would have been more difficult if it was someone other than Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
But we felt like putting Kyle down onto a 250 was the one that we needed. And then obviously just with the Honda relationship.
That worked out nicely.
having all three guys and just sending one crew, and you know, you're sending so much experience and knowledge, you know, for an event, even if it's the rider that's not, you know, on your team all year round. So
how proud was Stephen Gall after too, and Leesk and these guys? I mean, Leesk had some great individual rides at that race over the years. I'm sure you don't remember them, Berner, but like 88 was really good for Leesk, and he put in some good rides, and you know, they never quite had the team. Same with Gall, he went once, you know. And how are those two old timers?
I mean, every single person that had anything to do with it over the years was pretty stoked and almost tears in their eyes, you know, because it's like I said, it's been a long time coming. It's a lot of heartache for one event that's just been revolving for many years, and you're just like, ah, we have the riders to do it. Even just at this point, it was even just a podium, you know.
But yeah.
Obviously, the last 2 years, now the expectations from Jed and Honda themselves are like they want to win, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I think I think we got it. Not lucky, because I don't know if you kind of stuff just happens at this race. Everything needs to happen. There's three guys on the track.
Yeah, six motos. Lots of stuff goes wrong for sure.
Yeah, like Jeffrey and those guys definitely seem like they were in the driver's seat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, everything comes down to that last moto. So to put up two top fives from both your guys in the last moto was.
Yeah,
where it comes from.
Look, you raced RC. You were teammates with Stu. You rode with Chad. This Jet Lawrence guy. I mean, I was one of those ones, Berner, that kind of came along a little late. Like, let's back it down here. Let's not talk 72. Let's wait. You know, there was other guys that were like, no, 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 and I was like, ah, come on, you know. And I'm fully switched on, Berner, now. This kid is,
yeah.
I mean,
he's got your attention now.
Yeah, he's, dude, it's the stuff, and you know, even his comeback from the wrist. I was on my dumb show saying, like, if he wins this thing, if he comes back with this wrist with this, the thumb with the limited amount of time, like, it's not good. These guys can't let this happen, and they all just let it happen, and he did it. And like, holy shit, I mean, you know, like,
he's special.
It's unbelievable. I mean, like, does he do anything? Like, what's his common trait to Chad and James and Ricky and guys you've been around a lot? Is he just taking it to another level?
Oh man, it's hard to say. All of those guys hated to lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and he hates to lose too. It's hard to say with Jet because Jet's such a kid. He's sometimes like a little bit like a young James, you know. He's still young.
Yeah, he feels invincible. Feels like he can do anything, right? Like a little bit like that.
Yeah, not invincible, but I don't know. Like he's one guy when he's, you know, in the shop or in the truck, and then he puts the helmet on, and then he's just this completely different person, you know. Like, and that's pretty unique to be able to, I guess, switch on and off like that. Mm-hmm. Which I think those other guys were pretty much kind of like more locked in like all the time. So I think with Jet, he's definitely unique. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I mean, he's still a kid though. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like that triple at Hangtown that he tried, you know, they knocked it down and he was doing it in practice and he tried it and it bit him. That was so rare because he just doesn't do that. He doesn't make the Ricky mistakes or the James mistakes. He's like the perfect combination of like Everett's Ricky speed, Everett's technique, Tomac's strength, right? Like it's everything.
Exactly. Like all these, he's got a little mixture of everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, well, who's going to step up and beat him then, you know?
Yeah,
Hunter, you could tell. I mean, Hunter was on his butt in that last moto at Vegas, so you know the drive between the two of them is pretty crazy because Eli was right there,
mm-hmm.
and they both rode away, and they both, you know, Hunter doesn't want to have Jet just do that to him, you know. So
no.
It's hard to say that is his brother the one that has what it takes or knows what the weaknesses are, you know. So
yeah. Yeah, it's pretty, honestly, like, Supercross 2025, like, you know, it's my job to think about it and talk about it. And I'm just, when he did that, coming back from that late a time on the bike, I'm just like, this thing's over. Like, sorry, Chase, and sorry, Eli. Like, I mean, anything can happen. I get it. But holy shit, how are you going to beat this kid that's a total package? He's everything, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's sweeping them or anything like that. But you know what I mean? Like, he's just... Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, he's usually very calculated for someone of his age.
And- mm-hmm.
He only does what he needs to do to win. He doesn't do extra. He's not trying to win by a minute like James and Ricky did, you know.
Yep.
If he wins by 2 seconds, he's just as happy as if he wins by 20, you know. So, but I think that comes from, you know, Johnny and Dazzy and just the whole group that we have, you know. And then when he does something like Hangtown, he usually learns from it, you know, and we tell him that you're an idiot. You know, what the fuck? What were you thinking?
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it's.
Oh, is Dazzy yelling at you?
Yeah. Oh. Renee's yelling at me.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Dazzy.
No, we're good.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but he usually learns pretty fast.
Yeah. So. No, absolutely. You yourself, Burner, obviously, you know, you're working the compound. You're working with the brothers a little bit. They got Johnny as a trainer. Your Dazzy told me a while ago how much he respects your opinion, and then you're helping the other riders at the compound and Chance and everybody else. Like, you in a good spot? Like, are you happy with everything? And you know, for it's funny because you were such a great rider, and you made a lot of money racing, and you know, you were basically a factory rider for most of your time after you left the Edge Motorsports. But from what I gather, Burner, you're grinding away at the facility there, and you're working really hard, you know, which doesn't always happen with riders like you that retire. So what's it like? What's it like for you?
No, I mean, I honestly love doing what I'm doing right now. It's a lot of work for sure. But I mean, a lot of it is a lot of work because I want to do the extra for the guys. Mm-hmm. I want to do the things that I think even, you know, Dazzy, Renee, our whole group out here, we're going to do whatever it takes. You know, we're not being like, oh, it's 5 o'clock or we're going home, or it's this whole group from, you know, the East Coast group here with, you know, me, Renee, and Dazzy, and the boys, and then, you know, obviously Johnny, but then Lars and all the crew. Like,
yeah,
it's whatever it takes to win, and it doesn't matter whose idea it is, who's got to do the extra time. You know, and that's, I think that's a special group of guys, you know, because it's difficult sometimes to, you know, people want to be like, oh, that was my idea and that's why we won. No one, honestly, no one really gives a shit, you know, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, I don't know. I tried not to do something for a little while and it lasted about 6 months. So. I don't know. That's not my style. I love being, helping and doing whatever it takes to have these boys succeed. Trying to have them make, you know, don't make the mistakes that I made. I mean, that's the next best thing. That, as a retired guy, that's the next best thing, is just to try and pass your wisdom on and have guys that are trusting you and wanting to believe you're telling them the right things and that be successful, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys that ride there, like Ferrandis rides there and Gage Lindville, you know, Tiger Wood was there for a while. There's a lot of like amateurs to pros to the best riders in the world. Like, do you help everybody out? How does that work? If someone, like, I know you do bicycle rides with different guys at different times and you're there with the brothers, like, how does it work? Like, how does it work for, you know, for you there? Are you just available to help anybody at any time? That's sort of approved to ride there?
No, on that side of things, obviously I'm here every day. So if someone's riding here, and they want me to help them, then, you know, like, they have to pay me separately, or, you know, it's not
okay. All right.
Just because I work here for Jet and Hunter and Dazzy, am I available to you? You know, that's just an option that is there if riders want it.
Okay, I didn't know how that worked. That
it's not something that we force on anybody or do anything like that. You know, it's just an option.
But then, like, I've heard you take guys on bicycle rides. Is it just because you're going on a bicycle ride with somebody and they can jump in with you, like Dylan Ride or whatever, like, you know, things like that? Like,
Obviously, with, you know, I'll like I said, I'll do extra for guys who I want to do good. Or, but yeah, like if my guys are going on a bicycle ride and someone like Gage or Dylan's here, then hey, come on, like,
okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to be like, hey, man, you came with me for an hour. You need to pay me this amount of money.
I didn't know how that worked, right? Yeah.
No, obviously, most of the kids, we're a family group out here, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're here, you're part of the family. So, you know, that's the same goes with Dazzy. Like, you know, no one's paying Dazzy. Obviously, they're paying to ride at the, well, having a spot here at the compound. But, you know, Dazzy will help, and if he sees something, and,
Gage told me that. Gage told me that Dazzy will just jump in once in a while and be like, hey, mate, try this or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, yeah. For sure. You know, we want anybody that's here to be the best that they can be. You know, not everybody's going to win a championship or win a race, but that doesn't mean that their progression isn't better than what they could have done by themselves, you know?
Right, right. And then Truman's just going straight from the club to the facility half the time, or struggling?
Dan's doing all the stuff that Dazzy and I don't want to do. That's for sure.
He's logistics. Dan's logistics.
Yeah. He's more logistics. We're just the working bees.
Right. When's the last time you rode?
We did some production testing for Honda, maybe 4 weeks ago, probably.
Oh, okay.
Last time I rode.
Yeah. Okay.
That's something that I also have been enjoying too. Is you know, getting my foot in the door with Honda, and
I heard that.
Being able to be part of the production side, like the 2025 was the first production bike that I've been a part of, which was pretty cool. So, looking forward to trying to do that.
Is that going to take you to Japan and stuff and around? Like, are you going to up that up, that workload up, do you think?
That's where it gets a little difficult, right? So I would love to. And I think I have been asked to go next year for, I'm just not sure on the dates yet, but sure. Just to do some production stuff yet. But having 2 weeks in Japan, sometimes if my guys are in there where I think they need to be and everything's rolling smoothly, and but I try and put my guys first. So,
yep.
Yeah. Anything that's in the States and it's maybe just a week or whatnot, a few days here and there, I'll definitely be doing it.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Spending a lot of time in Japan at the moment is obviously for me personally would love it. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, 'cause that takes you back to, I guess like putting yourself as a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I really enjoy, working on the testing and the production side of things. So even on the racing side, you know, obviously that was something that I always loved. So it's just, it's cool to still have a foot in the door and have some, just an opinion or just be one extra thought or comment in there with Trey and the boys. And, that's cool too.
Well, thank God they got rid of Kiefer, you know, bikes are a lot better. Yeah. So.
Hey, everything's soft unless it's a Yamaha.
Japanese, same. Same but different. That's the language you need to learn, right?
I find it funny that everyone's like, oh man, the fork and suspension's so soft, but then when Jet and Hunter ride it around here probably 20 seconds faster than everybody in this world that's a test rider.
Yeah.
They're like, nah, fork feels good.
That is true. That was one of the things. It's soft. Yeah, the people were saying that, right, about the new bikes. So, yeah. Well, that's awesome. No, I'm glad it's going well for you on that end. And, I've heard you had a big help with that. I talked to some of the Honda guys about around that Ironman intro that you were at. That's cool. Well, awesome, Bernard. Thank you for the catch-up. I really appreciate it. Congrats again, team manager. I know that meant a lot for you, for Australia, to finally bring this thing home. And you're already established as the favorites to defend in Ironman. I want you to know that. So, that should be interesting as well. A lot easier to get the guys over for that one, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is there ever any real favorites? It's a difficult. I don't know if it's tough.
Yeah.
There's always a lot of good teams.
Yeah, and then also, like you said,
anything can happen.
50 feet out of the gate, your entire weekend could go down the drain. Which, as you know, right? And I've seen with Canada as well over the years. So, that's awesome, Bernard. Congrats on everything. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Clean up the compound there, and we will see you. Well, are you going to Paris?
I don't plan on being on a plane anytime soon, so I will not be in Paris.
Okay. All right, buddy. Thank you for the time. Appreciate it, Bernard.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, that was Michael Byrne on the Fly Racing RacerX podcast, flyracing.com, now with a code. If you use the code PULPMX on flyracing.com, you can save when you check out. So, yeah, use that code and save and check out some of the Formula helmets and the Evo gear. F16 is a little bit of the more economy-based gear. And they got it all, man. Goggles, boots, helmets. Flyracing.com, use the code PULPMX to save. And also, thank you to the folks at Maxxis Tires, Maxxis.com. Freddie Noren, Kate Clayson, and many others using Maxxis Tires. Logan Carnell will be back underneath the Maxxis umbrella. Maxxis.com, new tires developed by McGrath, and the guys have been using them all year long. If you haven't thought about Maxxis for a high-end motocross tire, think no more, man. Maxxis.com, great mountain bike tires as well. So thank you to them for supporting me on the mountain bike side. Light truck tires, trailer tires, UTVs, all of it. Maxxis.com, of course, Fly Racing, Renthal, Motorsport.com. We'll tell you more about later on. But now I wanted to call up Christian Craig. He's back at Monster Energy Star Yamaha on a pretty unique deal on the 450 side. And I wanted to talk to him about it and get some details for you guys. And so here's a conversation with myself and Christian Craig on what's going on next year and more. Thanks for listening. Away we go. Okay, next up here on the Fly Racing RacerX podcast, a man who switched teams back to his team that he won a championship with after 2 years at Rockstar Husqvarna, Monster Energy Star Racing's Christian Craig. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. How's it going, Steve?
It's good, man. Yeah, you know, all good. Off-season's here. Although I went to Destinations, and then I got to go to World Supercross, and then I went to Motocross Destinations, and I got to go to Paris. Other than that, though, you know?
never stops for you.
Not really. Hey, man, lots to get into when it comes to your new situation, I guess. But first up, as you put on social, a little bit of knee repair might have you starting a bit late for the Supercross season?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the last race in Vegas, I literally dabbed my leg when I went off the track and felt something mm-hmm. not right when I did it. And so I pulled off the track right away and went and got my mechanic. I'm like, yeah, that's just something didn't feel right when I did that. So next week I went to the doctor. The first doctor was saying it was didn't look good. So I went and got another opinion just to see. And next day I went to in Nashville. Yeah, cleaned it up and fixed me all up. I'm already walking and we're at the 2 week mark today. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I cycled today and felt pretty good. I mean, it's weak and my walk's not the prettiest right now, but I'm moving around. So,
yeah,
I'm probably have a couple months and I mean, A1's probably out of the question, but is what it is. It sucks because I was really looking forward to hopping on this bike October 1st and I'm going to have to wait a little bit.
So you told me you were flying out Saturday night of SMX and I saw you pull off the track and we did a review pod and they asked me, you know, what was up with you or we talked about you and I'm like, I don't know, man. I think you just had an early flight and he had to go. Like we all know you were leaving the team and Weege and JT were like, what? I'm like, I don't know, man. I think he really left because he had a flight. Like, because it would have been super tight to make your flight. But
yeah, I think you could say the same thing about Malcolm. He finished the first race, but I guess he kind of, I don't know, hit something with his shoulder, just like mm-hmm. got a stinger. Yep. And he finished it and then didn't race the second moto. I guess you could say the same thing, but he's all good, luckily.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to start this interview off on a positive or the negative? How do you want to start it off?
I mean, it don't matter to me.
Okay.
I mean, we're in a good spot right now, and I'm in a happy place for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's going to be the positivity. So let's, in typical Mathis yeah. way, let's start negative. Look, it didn't work out. The Rockstar Energy Husqvarna didn't work out. A lot of it due to an injury. You know, we all saw the bad injury you had with your arm. You know, from the start, A1, you set the fastest time, and the very first time you hit the track, it didn't count, but it was the practice, you know.
Yeah.
Then you went backwards from there, and you never got going. To me, you never looked as good in the whoops as you did on a Yamaha or a Honda. Although Honda, you never really did much supercross. But you just never got comfy. It never worked out. Now, injuries were part of the reason why. But you know, it wasn't for a lack of trying. Nathan Ramsey, your manager, never spoke poorly of you to me on or off the record. You know, everybody liked your time. You worked hard, I'm sure. You wanted to make it work. You were at Baker's Place, but
yeah,
God damn it, Christian, it just didn't work.
Yeah, and I mean, man, it's hard to put into words. Just now, like, I don't want to bash anybody.
Of course not, yeah.
Like, everyone was super... Like, even with my injury, everyone was super positive and always were, like, trying to help. No one ever, like, gave up on me or gave me that feel of, like, kick me to the curb. So I don't want that to come off the wrong way. But, like, from day one, I just was never comfortable on that bike.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe with just more time, I'd get that comfortability and trust it more. Mm-hmm. But, man, it's crazy. Like, it was, I've never rode an Austrian brand, like, growing up, never was on a KTM or any of that. But I never thought anything of it.
I would not think that someone couldn't get used to it Yeah.
And literally from day one and then Supercross off season, I was just like, just fully not trusting the bike. Like, there was just something I was riding at. I would push, but it just, something wasn't there. And it was super frustrating. And then I had a pretty big get off in the off season of 2022, in the whoops. And, that could have spooked me a little bit for A1. Yeah. And so that one took me a little time to get back. And then A1, obviously it started off good and then it went down and, kind of had to rebuild myself from there, and then elbow injury, and then, man, it's I feel bad because, like, they took a chance with me and signed me for 2 years, and I didn't produce really anything for them other than a heat win, you know. It's frustrating as hell, but man, I couldn't get comfortable, and I did not fully trust myself on that bike.
Yeah, it's certainly a weird case because, as we know, you're super talented, and one would think with your talent level you could ride anything and make it work. Talking to some people on the WP side, and this kind of goes against stuff that I always thought, because steel frame, aluminum frame is a big difference, obviously. And talking to some people on the WP side, the KTM, very rigid compared to aluminum, and very rigid, the new models even more so. Do you think that had something to do with it?
Yeah, but it's rigid in a different way. Like, it's plusher in some spots, and then the bike doesn't know what it wants to do in some cases, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like in rhythm sections, I would be fine each lap, and then one time it would just swerve off to the left, you know, and I'd cross rut or something. You're like, what the heck was that? Like, I did the same thing the last 18 laps, and it was very unpredictable, and that was something like we kept working on like every day. And this wasn't just a me situation. Like, we're all, I feel like we're all kind of fighting the same feeling. And, it sucks. Cause I mean, they tried, and like Hunter Falk over there, he would check in on me almost every day and would try new settings. I'm never one that loved to test, but I was literally just going through everything. I'm just like, send me anything. I need comfortability. And I was just a shell of myself, you know, like when I was out there, it sucked. Cause like, it was hard to even watch my own like vlogs of my riding. I'm like, that's just not me.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. Like, looking back now, I've spent 2 years just trying to dig out of that hole, but we're in a better situation now.
For sure. And you know, some of it, like when you came back from your arm, you know, some of it's just strength, right? We can all see the photos, and we can see that, you know, you're going to face an uphill battle for the rest of your career, probably trying to regain what you had after that bad injury. What did you think of Baker's Factory and being there and the program and riding with RJ and Malcolm and AP and everybody else? Like, how'd you fit in? I mean, I know how you fit in there because you're a good guy and you work hard. Probably everybody liked you. But what'd you think of that whole thing?
Very straightforward, like very black and white. Like, you go there, you put in your laps, no bullshit. The tracks are ready to go for you. They're in pristine condition. If anybody has been there, you drive through the gates, it's like it's like motocross heaven. Yeah. So Alden does everything right. I mean, and if you don't show up on a Tuesday, you know, in your last 20, you're gonna hear it. Mm-hmm. So it took a while to get used to, and I doubted myself quite a bit, and Alden would straighten me out, you know, real fast. But he could see it too. It was always a mental battle and a physical battle. It's frustrating, but me and Alden, you know, we still talk. He's actually helping me out with a road bike, his Alcavi brand. So I think we left on good terms, and it is what it is. I mean, we had a good crew though. Like, literally we all got along.
Yeah.
So AP, Malcolm, and RJ, like,
how could you not get along with those three guys? Right?
Yeah. Literally, like, it was fun to go on bike rides. It was fun to do gym.
Uh-huh.
You know, we all got super comfortable, and I'm going to miss those guys for sure.
Malcolm was on the show halfway through Supercross last year when he first got on the team, and he was saying, like, look, we tested in the East Coast, and I don't know why we did that. We should have tested the West Coast because, you know, dirt was so different and everything else. I think you ran into some of that too, definitely a little bit. Like, new team, new bike, let's start off on a high, and both of you were like, wait, what is going on with the bike? I think a miss there by the team on not getting you guys West Coast more and testing. Some of that's on Alden, and I imagine, but that's a bit of a miss, right, looking back on it?
Yeah. I mean, the first year, Malcolm was coming off of a great year in Supercross, I think third in points. So, but then we all jumped on this new bike, and then you saw this all kind of struggle.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I think, obviously, it's the same frame, but the 250 to 450 – it handles so much differently with that motor.
Mm-hmm.
Like the 250, I feel like they have a good platform, and like RJ obviously is going to ride that bike good. So 450 is where we ran into a little bit of, you know, trouble, and we just couldn't find our direction. Me and Malcolm were always searching a little bit, and I think they have another new bike that they're going to be on. So like, I really hope that Malcolm gets comfortable, even though I got to race him. Like, yeah. He's a good dude, and we always like would exchange what we were doing to our bike. You know, we never hid anything, and we're like, hey, you try this, but it's just, yeah, like I said, it was just a battle.
Could AP help you too on that end of things, or is it just that much different?
As much as they're the same, they're so much different.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't want to get into that. That's, I don't want to overstep.
Yeah.
Or say anything wrong, but, I think they have, yeah.
Yeah, there's some AP things.
Comfortable. Like it, right. Yeah, if you look back at AP's first year on his KTM, he had some struggles, but then he's figured it out, and he's got a good setting where he's been on all year. So he's comfortable.
Yeah.
So.
No. Yeah, it doesn't, and I think they're using some different ECUs as well than you guys. There are a few differences around.
There's a lot of difference, actually.
Yeah, and you know, and Malcolm rides so different than you too. That, you know, like one time Sexton was on the show saying he can't use anything from AP. They're such different riders. They're such different setup. And I think I imagine the same applied for Malcolm. He's bigger. He's stronger than you. He rides differently. Yeah. Like, you're very light on the bike. He's more of a hammerhead. Even though you're both crush the whoops, you crush him in different styles. So I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, but his thoughts maybe wouldn't help you.
No, yeah, that's like, they started me on his stuff the first year, and I'm like, I need to be softer. I need to be softer. So I ended up going that way, and then that ended up not being the right way. I ended up going back stiffer. And actually, like, this year and outdoors, I found a pretty good setting that I was able to like push somewhat, and it saw on some of the, you know, some of the tracks, like Unadilla, my bike was really good. And it's weird how these little tracks or these different tracks, and Southwick, I struggled so bad. I just could not get the bike to like, I mean, everyone kind of struggles there, but this was different for me. And then you go to Unadilla and I was better there. Buds Creek, I was decent. So the bike likes different types of dirt, I guess.
As far as the season goes for yourself, you know, a couple of injuries held you back, definitely, but you knew kind of you were going to be gone. I mean, they have some cutbacks going on in their end of things anyways.
Yeah.
And you kind of knew that your contract was up. So who did you start talking to? Who talked to you? How did you end up back at the place where you won championships and you're so familiar with? Like, or was that like just right away, hey, Coker, hey, Bobby, let's do something. Can I do something? Like, or was it like an active process of you shopping yourself?
Yeah, I'd say early outdoors, like first couple of rounds, I got a call. Nate let me know that what was going on with the team and how much all the changes and stuff. So he let me know that I wasn't going to be re-signed. So obviously I started making calls to different teams and seeing where, if anybody was available. But yeah, I mean, after making call to Bobby and having the pass that I have here, it only seems right to try to be back and make that magic again, you know?
Well, I'm a little surprised, and we'll get into the specifics of your deal, but they got Justin Cooper, which early on I was talking to you about it, and I'm like, man, if Justin Cooper doesn't stay, then there's a spot for you, and you know, but where's Justin Cooper going to go? And you know, obviously Eli and Cooper there, Cooper Webb. And then he stays, and I'm like, dude, I think he's got to go to HEP. I think he's got to do something else. But they shifted. I mean, look, I don't even know how they does it. I know how Bobby does it and Brad and everybody. I don't know how what's going on there, but somehow they made room for you. Did you think that it was possible once you heard Jay Coop was coming back, or did they tell you all along, like, hey, we could do a fourth guy? You know, like,
they never said we could do a fourth guy. They were like, hey, let's wait till the end of the season and see what we can make happen. But my deal is different from all of them. You know, it's more unique. I get paid from the star side, 250 side. But I'm also allowed to have my own gear deal. So it's, and then I'm also, I don't know if I'm be a trainer, but for if someone needs help with bike setup, you know, I'm not going to be the guy that doesn't help out or reach out to these kids.
Sure.
So, and obviously I'm super close with Hayden and, he trusts me, you know, guiding him. Uh-huh. And he was a big help. Him and Brian were helped to get me over here and push Bobby to help it, or like to make it work. And we found kind of a way to make it happen. I mean, I'm kind of haven't found what exactly like my full-time job is, but mm-hmm. I know I'll be racing. I knew I'll be racing and I'd have a bike. That was the biggest thing in the contract. I'm like, I just want to see in the contract that I'd have a 450. I would have a spot under the semi and be able to race. And once I saw that, I'm like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, from what I understand, you're not going to maybe have the full access to the works parts, all the full factory stuff.
No,
right?
No, I'm going to.
Oh, you
are? Yeah, it's going to be a full factory bike, which is cool. Like Yamaha stepped up, and I just don't know where I'm going to be placed.
like semi wise, you mean?
Yeah. Will I be out behind the 450 rig? Will I be under the 450 rig or the 250 rig?
Right.
But that doesn't matter.
Who cares, right? Yeah.
I really don't care as long as I'm on, you know, that same bike, then I'm stoked.
Yeah, and once you get up running and training and everything else, they got Swanepoel. Obviously, there's a trainer there, but you're gonna do off the bike stuff with whoever, and then on track stuff with whoever, and then you have to also try to get yourself ready, moto wise and strength wise and testing and everything else. But I'm guessing, like, there might be weeks where you're like, hey, I didn't get to do what I need to do because I was doing this with Hayden or this with Pierce Brown or whoever. Is that kind of how I picture it? Is that what you think?
Like off the bike and on the bike, I'm kind of going to be under Swanee and following his stuff. So obviously I'll kind of have my two cents put in, but Swanee's kind of the head honcho trainer here, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Like, I'm not going to take on 13 guys or whatever they have. So Swanee kind of knows that program, and we're going to kind of be under that. So, but in the contract, it says, you know, my first job is to make sure that, you know, those guys are taken care of. And then if I have time at the end of the day, I can do my motos. So that's going to be where I got to find the happy medium.
Yeah.
You know, like, do I go there early and bust out a 20, or wait till after those guys are done and ride a chewed up track for 20, you know?
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting to see, like you said, it's going to evolve and we'll see how it works. But I mean, with the amateurs that Star has and then the lineup they have, I imagine you'll be busy. Like, you know, especially cause you know, you're a nice guy, you're going to want to do a good job. So you're going to go up to these dudes and be like, can I help you? Do you want to help? Let me ride your bike.
They were already saying that they have some 250 stuff they want me to try. The engine guy was mentioning that he's got some stuff he wants me to try, and just little things like that. I'm going to be there to help, you know?
Sure.
So I'm guessing there's going to be some long days ahead, and I'll find my way and be a part of this team.
What appealed to you? Because I know Dustin Pipes at HEP was talking to your agent, Connor, and he was telling me that they want you to ride the bike, and it never ended up happening, but that would have been a pure racer thing, you know, as that. What appealed to you for this? Was it the structure of the program, or just getting back to people that you're familiar with, or the bike?
I think all three.
All three?
I think the bike, for sure.
Yeah.
That's number one. Like, I need... Yeah, so I'd say, like, all three of those things. I need a good bike. I need a bike that I can trust, and something I can ride to my best ability. Mm-hmm. And then I have the crew there. Everyone that I've worked with and I won my championship is there. So just that home feeling and knowing what you're going to get here. And also, man, it's like, they're, you know, best guys and the best bike out there. So you kind of got to jump on it, you know?
Yeah. 2 year deal?
2 year deal.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I guess we'll see where this first year goes and where I fit in.
Mm-hmm.
But like, man, I don't even want to think about retirement. Like, I'll know when that time comes, and I don't want to have, not like it's a bash against Phil. Like, Phil had his farewell tour, and that was cool. Like, I get it, but I'll know when it's time, and when mm-hmm. that shows up, I'll make the call. But
do you want a bunch of parties? You want a bunch of parties? Three parties in a weekend for you? Is that what you're getting at?
Or? I mean, yeah. he probably had a blast. So.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, though, Christian, a little bit, like, because of this deal, because of the years you're coming off of, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, and I don't want to be a dick here, but we're pretty good friends. Like, you're probably just being like, hey, I want to be a top 10 guy. I want to be a top 10 guy where, you know, when 2 years ago you signed at Rockstar Husky, you're like, hey, I can be podium. I could maybe win a race. The goals probably changed a little bit because of this role?
A little bit, but I also, like, I don't want to go out the way this year went. You know, yeah. I really want to put in good results. So I'm not going to settle for 9th, 10th, even though that's going to be, like, it is my, like, all summer, that's kind of where I fit in. Mm-hmm. But, man, new bike, the people I've been around.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to put out a top 5 question, you know, like that sure. top 5 as possible. So
that'd be awesome. Yeah. I mean, that'd be great. It's stacked, but you're back on Blue Crew.
It is. You know? It is. But I mean, who knows? I'd be right where you say or worse. So you never know with the sport.
Well, on a bike that you weren't comfy with, you were like 8 to 10. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe on a better bike or more comfortable bike, not better bike, but, you haven't ridden the new Yamaha yet.
I haven't.
No.
I haven't. So I Eli's here, testing a little bit. So uh-huh. I was watching him a little bit today and, I mean, it looks good. It looks good.
Obviously, like you mentioned, Brian and Hayden were a big push to you to get on there. And I'm not so sure it's going to work, Christian, but like, do you see yourself giving Hayden or Brian like some advice on how to handle things a little bit? Like, look, I'm old. I haven't, you know, I think myself and others have been critical of things that's been on the podium or the way, you know, Hayden acts or anything else. And the dude is an amazing rider on the track. So maybe some of the stuff off the track is why he's so good on the track, you know, but do you think you can help with that? Or do you even think that, you know, with Brian and his quote unquote marketing skills, he's going to do what he's going to do?
Yeah, I think you're going to get what you're going to get with the Deegans.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It is, yeah, I mean, they let you know what they're doing and not scared about it, you know, and they want it their way. And what's cool about them is always, like, willing to learn. Like, there's never a moment where Brian's like, well, this works and this is the way we do it. You know, he's always asking how to get Hayden better or, mm-hmm. you know, how to grow him and make him faster and look ahead in 3 years. How can we beat Jet in 3 years? Mm-hmm. You know, so you got to respect that part of it. But yeah, off the bike, I mean, Hayden's got his TikToks, and I always give him shit about that. But
yeah, I mean, I feel like yeah. I mean, you know, hey, listen, if you're asked, you'll help, I'm sure, and be like, well, you know, because you've been around a lot of different riders, and you've been a champion yourself, you know. So
yeah,
certain ways that you probably you're just like, oh boy. The end of the day, they're gonna
you go to the Supercross pits and he's obviously the fan favorite. Yeah. So they're doing something right.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there another rider to the side that you're looking forward to working with that you know or that you don't know or anybody like that you know?
I love Nate and like Thrasher, and it's hard, like, watch him because he has this success like through spurts and Supercross. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll just have shitty races and then he'll win one, you know? So
yeah. It's bizarre.
To get him more consistent and fight up there like every weekend instead of just these random spurts would be cool to see. So him and, you know, I don't know Pierce much, but I know he's over here now. There's a bunch of amateurs that are coming over. So mm-hmm. I've yet to really see them all. This is kind of day one.
Right.
And yeah, we'll see where we fit in.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if you develop a bond with one of the dudes or, you know, whatever, and then you can help them a little bit like that. So that'll be interesting to see how that works. And then, of course, you know, you got to practice against Cooper Webb and Eli Tomac and Justin Cooper. So good luck with that.
I've always dropped my ego. Like, I guess I don't have an ego, but
yeah.
It's not hard for me to be like, all right, I just got my ass kicked. Like, I don't go throw a fit and be like, I'm not going to go with him. you know, I'm going to be like, all right, let's go do another one. Let's see if I can be a little bit closer this time. So, I think that's where the younger riders need to learn is drop the ego, drop the cockiness that you got from amateurs and winning Loretta's. Mm-hmm. You got to put that all aside. You start fresh and, you aren't anything, I guess, really until you win a handful of championships and build your name up.
Yeah, no, and really, like, in the grand scheme of things, and I've said this on my show, I think we've talked about it too, like, a 250 Supercross championship, although it's great, gets you a lot of money, gets your name in the record books, like, you can't be like, hey, I'm a 250 Supercross champion, I got this figured out, and move up.
No.
Like, oh, no.
No. I mean, we've seen it. There's a bunch of riders that have done that. Yeah, so.
They're all champions. Everyone's a champion, right? So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot, and I think the kids nowadays, like, because you're the belle of the ball. You're getting all the press and you're winning these races. But I always look at it like, I'm like, hey man, you're racing against half the field. Hey man, you're on a really good bike and you're at a training program every single day that's, you know, produced these champions. Like, you should be winning or on the podium.
Yeah.
You know, so don't start thinking that you've made it type deal. And I get some blowback from my listeners on that, but I'm like, the work just starts.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, a lot of these top guys have, They think they're the shit, really, but this sport is so small. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the bigger sports. Like, we can walk the fastest guy in our class I've seen jet, like, on a Southwest plane, you know? And if you go to the best guy in the NFL, he ain't flying Southwest.
No.
You know? No. So our sport is small, but, I mean, that is what it is. So you gotta keep that in check, stay humble, and do what you can while you're young.
No, for sure. Absolutely. Christian Craig here on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. I want to thank the guys at motorsport.com, of course. Go through the banner on Pulp Mex to help us out. And great prices, dedicated team of gearheads there. And you can get Yamaha parts, and you're going to be in Fox, right?
I'll be Fox head to toe,
You can get Fox head to toe at motorsport.com and more. Please check them out and go through the banner to help us out. And free shipping on everything over $79. Motorsport.com, OEM aftermarket parts. Motocross the Nations. That jet kid's pretty good, man. Holy shit. Like, first of all, Christian, full props to Geyser for coming back against Jet Lawrence, because no one really does. But if you had any doubt that Jet Lawrence is maybe the best rider in the world, I think the Diz Nations showed you.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the best guy when he's been healthy. That was fun to watch. I mean, obviously I was cheering for Eli, Aaron, and Cooper, but man, those top guys. I mean, I thought Herlings would be closer too, like, I really did, but I don't think he was comfortable on that track.
Yep.
Had some early crashes, so it would have been cool to see Herlings try to push with Jet and them.
Your own experience, like, obviously it didn't go great and you were, you know, the last minute guy. So I think people appreciated that. When you look back on it, are you happy that you went and you did what you did? Or are you like, I want another shot at it. Like, you know, are you like, have some regret there?
I'm happy I got the opportunity, but man, I was so far from being ready and having a bike that I was comfortable on.
Yep.
You know, and literally every time I went on that track in France, I had a different setup. And we tried everything under the sun to get me comfortable, and it was everything but not, you know. So it was frustrating, because every time I think about the riding there, I was so shitty. Like, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't put the bike where I wanted to. I couldn't hit a turn without dabbing my foot or tuck in the front. You know, I was like, what am I doing? But the experience and all that, you can't buy that. You know, that was unreal.
Yeah, so. The whole thing is kind of, I mean, I went one time as a mechanic and we got second, and I'm like, yeah, you know what, that we didn't win, but it was still really cool. That's kind of how I thought about it.
It was cool. I got to bring my son and he got to experience it, but the riding part we'll forget about.
Hey, to wrap this thing up a little bit, Christian Craig here on his new ride for Star Yamaha. You posted this on social, and kind of like, it doesn't, you don't think about it as a fan or a media guy until, like, maybe you posted it, like, all your moves and all the houses and buying and selling and moving. And, you know, because of the different things, different rides that you've gotten. It's a lot. It's something that people don't really think about when it comes to you guys and what you got to do, because, I mean, look, you got a 2-year deal at Husky and a 2-year deal here. That's like an eternity in our sport. But, you know, moving a lot and having to uproot the family is a real a real thing for you guys.
Yeah, it's, I feel bad because now my kids are getting older and they're having, they make these friends, and after a year we've ended up moving. So I really thought this, the Clermont and the Husky thing was going to be long-term, like more than 2 years and maybe end my career there, but it didn't play out that way. So we're back here, and but yeah, I mean, literally California to Florida, Florida to South Florida, back up. It takes a toll on my wife for sure, because I get it. It's a lot. Three kids, moving them cross country, and then it's different school and buying different houses. It sucks. Like, you can't really get comfortable, and you're kind of always waiting for that next contract, which is tough in the sport.
Good news is you've probably made money on every move you've made, right?
I have so far. I'm thinking this Clermont house, hopefully it sells quick. We don't need two mortgages.
No. Also, like, you think about, just the looking for a house, you know, takes a while. It took us a couple of months of looking, and then you get frustrated because you've looked at a bunch and they're no good, and you wasted your time. And then I imagine, though, like Paige and maybe you, like, you don't really have the time. You kind of got to be like, well, we got to move, and this is the best of the best, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you have to be here. We had to be here at a certain time. You know, this is kind of last minute for us. Like, usually if we're going to move, it's August and or right after the last outdoor, but this one, you're kind of jumping straight into off season training now. Like, we moved today and I already started my first day of boot camp pretty much, you know? So it's going to be a long week, but is what it is. And the kids are running around and having fun. So we got to try to live.
So maybe jump on a bike end of November, beginning of December. Maybe
I'm thinking like sometime December.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And, I mean, who knows? It's could, I cycled today and maybe this thing speeds up, but I'm obviously going to play it smart and be back when I feel like it's 100%. So we'll see. And, but yeah, not going to put a full time frame on it.
Well, I think you'll look better on blue. That's just my opinion. I mean, I'd like to see it in fly gear on blue. But I'll take.
I got some of my Fox, like what they're gonna have for me. Some of the sets, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to show you guys.
Wow, you do always look really good, no matter almost what gear, no matter what gear you got. But Fly does have some news coming, so you know.
Yeah.
So
heard about that,
we look forward to that. But we at Fly were, you know, we kind of wanted stylist Christian Craig too, so. Didn't really have a chance. I mean, we don't make a onesie, so we don't. Were we out of it because we don't make the onesie?
No, that's probably the deal breaker right there.
Yeah, exactly. No, for sure, man. Hey, well, listen, thank you for this. I really appreciate it. I know you're in the middle of a move and everything else, and I know you already talked to Hansel at Racer X, but I wanted to get my podcast listeners a little bit up to date on the new ride. So good luck with everything. I'm sure I'll be in the group text with Kiefer and you talking Yamaha and setup and gear at some point.
Oh yeah. You'll be seeing my day one videos.
Okay. Awesome. I can't wait. And, thanks for this, Christian. I really appreciate it. Good luck with the new deal. And, I'm sure we'll be in touch. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change the air. Don't change the air.